Welcome back, everybody, to Amidyomi, to Ripta Daf Nun Chesem, Advais 58b, and we're on the bottom of Daf Nun Chesem and Alpha. We ended with a Braisa discussion about whether a slave or a servant can go out with an emblem or a bell on its neck, and then we got into a discussion about an animal going out with a bell, and now the Gemara is going to pick up from the end of this Braisa that spoke about the animals going out with the bells, and we're going to analyze this Braisa and get into a discussion about the bells on animals. So Amar Mar, we said previously, go say Tebehema, then animals not allowed to go out on Shabbos, lo b'chosam shabbat savara, either with an emblem on that's on its neck, lo b'chosam shabbat ksusa, or an emblem on its clothing, lo b'zug shabbat savara, lo b'zug shabbat ksusa, and it can't go out with a bell that's on its neck, or a bell that's on its clothing. Zev ze'ein mekaplim tumah, and both these, the emblems and the bells, are not susceptible to tumah because they are not considered a kli. Now comes the Gemara and asks on this price. Zog de behemah in mekabim tumah. Is it really true that the bell of an animal is not something which is susceptible to tumah? Meanwhile, ask your contradiction. Zog shal behemah tumah. If you have a bell of an animal, that is going to be susceptible to tumah. Bishal deles tahora. But the bell of a door is going to be tahor, meaning it's not susceptible to tumah because the door itself is something which is considered mechubar lekarka. It's considered attached to the ground. Therefore, it cannot be mekabel tumah. But we already just saw from the first part of this brisa that's being quoted as a difficulty is that the bell of an animal is susceptible to tumah. So this seems like a stira. So let's keep going in this brisa. Shel deles vaso lemehema. So if someone had a bell of a door and then he turned it into a bell of an animal tumay, it's going to be tumay as soon as its function is changed. Shel behema vaso ledeles. But if it was originally the bell of an animal and he changed it to be the bell for a door, af al pisha chibru ledeles ukvao vimasmirim. So even though the door is now attached with nails and it's really completely attached, it would certainly be considered mechubar lekarka. Still tumay. Still it's going to be susceptible to tumah. Why shakwakim yordan lidi tumasam machshava? Because anything can become susceptible to tumah just through thought. That's why if it was initially a bell for a door and then became of an animal, just thinking that it's going to become the bell for an animal, that makes it susceptible to tumah. But the only way that you can go and change something from being susceptible to tumah to not being susceptible to tumah, like if you want to change it from the animal to the door, is if there's actually a change in maisa, and this attaching it to a door is not considered enough of a maisa to have it change its status. But at any rate, what we see from here is that this braisa tells us that the bell of an animal is susceptible to tumah, whereas our first braisa told us that it's not. So how do we answer this question? Answers the Gemara, lokash, it's not a problem. Had islay inbal, had lesle inbal. The second braisa that talks about it being susceptible to tumah, that's where it has a clapper on it. When it has a clapper, then it is susceptible to tumah. And the first braisa, which says that it is not susceptible to tumah, that's where it has no clapper. It doesn't really make any noise. So ask the Gemara, though, manafshach, what does this mean? How can you say either imanahu, if the bell is considered a kli, then afal pi delesle inbal, then even though it doesn't have a clapper, it should still be susceptible to tumah. And ilav manahu, if it's not considered a kli, inbal mashvi limana, all just because it has a clapper, now it turns into a useful utensil. Ask the Gemara, in. Yeah, actually it is. The presence of the clapper does give the bell its status of having a utensil, being a complete utensil. Why? Kidder Bishmu Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Amar Bishmu Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Minayin Lamashmiya Kol B'Kli Matachoshu Tamei. So from where do we know that if you have a metal kli that is meant to produce sound, that it is susceptible to tumah? Shenamar Kol Davar Asher Yavo Ba'ish Tavir Ba'ish. So this pasuk is talking about Gitlei Kli Midyan, when the Jews got their kelim from the Battle of Midyan, so they had to kasher them, they had to make them tahor. So how do you do this? So this pasuk is actually the one that tells us Bolo kach polto. The way that it becomes tameh is the way that you need to kasher it. So this is what we use in kashering nowadays. You need to use libun gomer. You need to put it on the fire in order to burn out all the treif. Now the Gemara comes with a different drush on this pasuk, and it says afilu dibor yavo ba'ish. When it says kol davar, that any item that has gone through the fire, you need to put through the fire. Here it says afilu dibor. They're making a drush to say that it's really talking about any sound that must come into the fire to be purified, meaning that things which make a sound can become tame because they are considered a utensil and therefore they would need to be koshered and they are susceptible to tumah. This seems to be the proof that the sound itself gives it the status of a kli. So this inbal answer, this answer of saying that the bell has a clapper is when it's going to be susceptible to tumah, that seems to make sense at this stage in the Gemara. But the Gemara is bothered still with this answer. Ramayu Kimtis, how have you interpreted the first brisa now? Vitalesle inbal, are you telling me that the first brisa is talking about a case that has no clapper on it? Ema mitziyasa. So then let's look at the middle case of the brisa, which is referring to bells worn by a slave. So we were talking about bells worn by an animal, but let's look at the other things of bells worn by a slave. So the brisa said that the slave is not allowed to go out with a bell that's around its neck. But it may go out with a bell that's on its clothing. But both this bell and the bell on his neck and on the clothes are susceptible to tumah. So either lesle inbal, if we're talking about a case that there's no inbal on there, mi mekabli tumah, could it really be mekabli tumah? But we said that the clapper is the only reason it would be mekabli tumah. We're a minhu, but I have a contradiction. How says zagin lamachtashas, if someone makes bells for a mortar? Rashi points out they used to have bells on their mortar to crush up the spices because the sound somehow make the spices taste better. Villa arisa, or if you have it for a cradle, This is like a baby toy that it would be in its crib, so that way it would make noises to soothe the baby. Umit pechos svarim, umit pechos tinokos, or if it's on the coverings of the Torahs and the svarim, or the coverings of the children. So they used to actually, instead of having like a bell to tell you when class would be, so the Talmud, the Rabbeim, would walk around with the Torah, with the svarim, with the bells, and that's how you knew that class was starting, or if you have it for the children, so that way you know where your children are. Yeshlehem in bal tameim, if they have clappers, then they are susceptible to tumah because they're there for the noise purpose. In lahem in bal tahorim, but if they have no clappers, then they are going to be tahor. Nitlu in balehem, so if they originally had clappers, but then they were removed, adayin tumas on alehem, their tumah still stays upon them. So the Gemara brought this whole brisa to ask a question, that if we're going to say that this whole first part of the brisa is referring to a case where there's no clapper, then the middle part also seems to be referring to a case where there's no inbal, there's no clapper, and yet still it said that there is mekabel tumah, something is susceptible to tumah, but we just proved from this brisa that there's no way that a bell could ever be susceptible to tumah without the clapper. So how could it possibly be that you're going to make this distinction of with a clapper or without a clapper? Because the middle case is a case where the slave is walking out with these bells, it is mekabel tumah, and it seems like we're saying this is a case without an inbal, without a clapper, so how could it ever be that a bell is going to be mekabel tumah without having a clapper? So answers the Gemara, hanimili betino. So no, the brisa that we just quoted applies to the clothing of children. Dilakala avidele, where the whole thing, the whole purpose of the bell is to make noise. And when the whole thing is to make noise, then without a clapper, it's useless. So that's why it's certainly going to be not susceptible to tumah unless there's a clapper. But if we're talking about an adult, even discussing a slave like we were just talking about our whole question, it's just an extra ornament for him. It's just something that looks nice. Even if adults wear bells on their clothing, it's not necessarily for the sound. Even though it doesn't have a clapper, just the bell itself is something which is serving a function because it looks nice. People just want to wear it as a design on clothing, and therefore it is something which would be susceptible to tumah even without having the clapper on it. Now the Gemara takes the last part of the brisa we just quoted and goes to analyze it. Amar Mar, we said previously, nitluin lehem, if the bells originally had clappers, but then their clappers were removed, adayin tumasan alehen, their tumah still remains on them. Lemai chazu, but if this is true, why would this be the case? What purpose do they serve? If there's no clapper, why should it still continue to be susceptible to tumah if it serves no purpose seemingly? So Amar Abaya by answers, ho'el sha'ahedyut yachol hachziro. Since any random person can go and attach it, it's easily attached, it's still going to be considered attached, it's still going to be considered chibur, and therefore it says if the clapper is still on the bell, and it's still going to could remain with the status of being susceptible to tumah. But ask the Gemara, Masiv Rava, Rava asks a question on this, Hazug veha inbal chibur, the bell and the clapper are treated as attached. This is referring to in terms of Hilchos Tumah, that if one comes in contact with an Ava Tumah, both the bell and the clapper become tumah. So this brisa clearly shows us that the clapper is deemed a very important part of the bell, and therefore if it's removed, then it's useless without it. So how can you possibly say that just because it's going to be attached easily, it's as if it's considered mechubar, it's as if it's attached, but it's not. We see from this brisa very clearly that it actually needs to be attached. And if you're going to tell me that this Mishnah, what this brisa that Rava was just saying is really saying, that even when they're not attached, we still view it nevertheless as if it is attached, but this can't be correct because I have another brisa. We saw this a little earlier, about 10 daf ago, that if you have scissors that are two sections, or you have a blade and a handle of a certain carpenter's blade, chibor l'tumah v'ein chibor l'hazah. So they're considered attached with regard to tumah, meaning that if one part becomes tumah, both things are tumah, but not with regards to tara in terms of the sprinkling of the paraduma, that if you put one part and made it tahar, then the other part would not be tar. So it's partially connected and partially not connected. So ask the Gemara Manavshach, I don't understand. I chibor hu afilu l'hazah, v'lo chibor hu afilu l'tumah namilo. Either it's attached and it should be attached for both tumah and tara, or it's not attached. You got to choose one. V'yomar Rabba, and Rabba explains, Dvar Torah b'shas melacha chibor. So by Torah law, while the scissors and the other blade are in use, when they're being used, then they are considered attached. Bein l'tumah bein l'hazah, whether it's for tumah or tara. Shelo b'shas melacha, and when they are not in use, and therefore it is unnecessary for them to be connected, eino chibor, so they're treated as not attached. Lo l'tumah v'lo l'hazah, they're neither attached for tumah or with sprinkling. V'gazra al tumah shelo b'shas melacha, mishum tumah shehi b'shas melacha. But the Rabbanan made gzeira when it's shelo b'shas melacha because of the tumah that is b'shas melacha v'yahazah shehi b'shas melacha mishum hazah shelo b'shas melacha. So we took the chumrah of both of them and we say when it comes to tumah, when it comes to tumah, it's going to be considered tumah and it's going to be considered attached. When it comes to tara, it's not going to be considered attached. Regardless, what we see from here is that either it's attached or it's not attached. And we don't consider the fact that it could easily be put together as if it's attached. That's not a factor in this brisa, so that can't be an answer. Again, our question was, How can we say that a bell that had a clapper that now has this clapper removed retains its status of being something which is susceptible to tumah? So Abaye came and answered, it's because they are easily attached. And since it's easily attached, even though it's not literally attached, it's close enough and going to be okay. But Rava says that can't be, and he proves it for many different prices. It can't be that just because it has the potential to be attached easily that that's considered a factor, because we see that we actually care. Is it attached or is it not? So comes Rava and gives a different answer. Ela amar Rava, ho'il v'roi l'hakish agabe cheres. Since the bell, even without a clapper, still has some sort of purpose, meaning that you could just hit it against an earthenware pot and make some noise in that way, so that's why it's going to retain its status of being susceptible to tumah, because it is somewhat useful even without the clapper. Since you can still hit the bell against some other sort of pot, it still retained its status of being something which is susceptible to tumah, because it is deemed to have some sort of purpose. This is Daf Nun Chesed Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.